Welcome to this IFRS Foundations podcast, which will focus on the July meeting of the International Accounting Standards Board. The meeting took place in London on the 18th and 19th of July 2017. My name is Matt Tilling and I'm the Director of Education here at the Foundation. I'm together with the Chair of the Board, Hans Ugeverst, and Vice Chair, Sue Lloyd. Hans, before we go into the detail of the board discussion, let's start with a brief look at IFRS 17. What's the latest news?
Well, I think there are a couple of things I can say about IFRS 17, our new insurance standard. What is very important is that the Financial Stability Board, which is a group of regulators from all around the world, that this Financial Stability Board has published a statement on IFRS 17. It has said it is a standard which is very important in the context of financial stability, and that is also has been a topic of a recent speech I gave in Amsterdam, that in which I said that the standard will result in a lot more information to investors and also to regulators even about the financial state of an insurance company, the risks that they are exposed to, the performance, the actual performance that they are subject to. So it gives a lot more information, which is obviously very important for financial stability. The FSB have also urged insurers to start preparing for implementation as soon as possible. And obviously, we also think that is extremely important. We are doing a series of web presentations on various aspects of IFRS 17 to help everybody implement the standard. And they are available on the dedicated IFRS 17 implementation page on our website. So I encourage all preparers to take a look at that. What we are also doing is that we have a very active engagement program with investors for whom the standard would also be very new, and for whom the new standard will result in a lot more granular information than they currently get. We have had more than 35 meetings with over 150 investors. And those meetings have been very successful, although some insurance companies tell us that investors are not interested in a new standard. What we see is when the investors see with their own eyes the new information that they will get from the standard, that they are very enthusiastic about it in most cases. There is also a webinar on our website, which is specifically tailored to the investor community, and it explains how the standard works and why it matters to investors. So I would encourage investors to take a look at that.
Sue, let's turn our attention to the board meeting. IFRS 17 was one of the topics on the July agenda.
That's right. So basically the staff provided the board with an update on this investor outreach that Hans has just mentioned, a series of over 35 meetings now that we've conducted with more than 150 people. With investors from the sell side and the buy side, so a real range of investor views. And really the staff were just firstly giving us an example of the presentation that's being used for those investor presentations, so that's available on the website, and summarising what we're hearing. And really most investors are welcoming the improvements in financial reporting, the transparency that 17 will bring, and in particular what they're enthusiastic about is the fact that they should get a lot of additional information now about what the main drivers of profit are in insurance companies, which is something you don't get typically with regulatory reporting.
Let's move to the discussion about the materiality practice statement. Why was this back at the board table?
Yes, why? It should be done by now, right? Okay, well, we're very close to actually publishing the final materiality practice statement. So basically what happened was in the drafting a question's come up and we brought what is called a sweep issue back to the table for the board to discuss. And the issue that we were discussing was what we should say about covenants in the context of materiality assessments. And it was a very long discussion, even though it was a very targeted topic. It was a very lively discussion with very different views from board members around the table. That diversity of views was evidenced in the fact that in the end, to actually reach a decision, we had to get Hans to use his casting vote to decide what we were going to do. And in the end, the conclusion was that we will keep guidance in the materiality practice statement about how to assess the materiality of information related to covenants. So the fact that you think about the possible consequences of a breach and the likelihood of a breach of a covenant, but that we would remove from the document some proposed additions that we had about the impact of covenants on the actual materiality judgments that you would make. So putting in less than what we had been thinking about in the drafting process.
And can you tell us about the status of a practice statement? Is it mandatory or non-mandatory?
Well, a practice statement is non-mandatory, and we've decided that that's appropriate for this document, particularly because of the potential interaction with sort of national regulatory requirements. It's a non-mandatory guidance that's really designed to assist preparers to understand how to apply the concept of materiality well when they prepare the IFRS financial statements, and that's because many have told us that maybe the application of materiality not so well is what's leading to some of the disclosure challenges that we're having. Now, even though it's non-mandatory, it still has been through a due process. It was exposed for comment. We've looked at comment letter analysis and finalised it in the same way. It goes through a balloting process, but ultimately it's got non-authoritative or non-mandatory status from an IFRS standard perspective.
Hans, another discussion was on goodwill and impairment. Where are we at with this project?
Well, this is, as you know, a research project, so we are not yet in the decision-making stage. Session in the July meeting was about goodwill and impairment was essentially to update the board on feedback that from recent meetings that we had with our key advisory groups, which are the Capital Market Advisory Committee, group of investors, and the Global Preparers Forum and the Accounting Standards Advisory Forum, ASAF. And our staff sought feedback on the possibility of providing relief to companies from the mandatory annual quantitative impairment test of goodwill if there are no indicators that there has been an impairment. A very complicated issue. We know that the annual quantitative impairment test is expensive, and we've received complaints about that. At the same time, it's not so easy to replace it by an indicator-only approach, and that was one of the discussions that we have had. The staff also asked for input on possible improvements to the disclosure requirements about goodwill in a situation when a company acquires another company. This was an education session, so no decisions were taken. What is very clear from all the discussions that we have had is that this will remain one of the most difficult areas in accounting, for which there are no easy solutions available, unfortunately. So doing a bit more research, hopefully we will come up with some improvements, not likely to conclude in a wholesale revision of how we look at goodwill and impairment.
Well, talking about some of the harder areas of accounting, Sue, shall we talk about IFRS 9?
Some of the harder areas of accounting? Interesting areas of accounting. Yes, the board at the July meeting finalised the re-deliberations on the proposed amendments to IFRS 9 and agreed to make an amendment to IFRS 9 that will enable companies to measure some additional assets at amortised cost that would not have qualified before for amortised cost accounting because of the type of prepayment features that they have. So the board has confirmed making that change to IFRS 9. Now, we know that we're quite close to the application date of IFRS 9 now, and so the effective date, and so we know that some people would like to apply the standard with the amendment, but others might want some more time. So taking that into consideration, the board actually has decided that the mandatory effective date of the amendments would be 2019, but people can choose to early apply them if they want to align with the overall implementation of IFRS 9. The other thing that we did in the deliberations this week was to follow on from discussions that have been going on at both the board and the interpretations committee about the accounting for modifications of financial liabilities. Both the board and the interpretations committee had already confirmed that the requirements for modification of liabilities in IFRS 9 were sufficiently clear and that no changes were made. And really the fact that we had made that decision not to do additional standard setting will be documented in the basis for conclusions to the amendments when we publish them. given the timing of IFRS 9, we're going to try and publish the final amendment as soon as we can, and our target is to publish probably in October this year.
There were a handful of other implementation issues discussed as well. Do you want to summarise these for us?
I'll summarise them at a very high level because they're all very specific. But we had a discussion about some proposed amendments to IAS 12, dealing the income tax standard, dealing with the way that you should treat taxes on distributions of dividends. We also looked at a clarification to IAS 23, dealing with how you treat borrowing costs where the borrowing applied to a qualifying asset and it's now completed. And then we had a discussion just to make the board aware of the possible effects of some amendments to IFRIC 14 on pension accounting, talking about what some of the effects might be, particularly in the UK, just to confirm that that was the board's intent. The board did confirm that, but the staff's going to do a little bit of extra work before we finalise that, just to make sure that we've fully understood the implications of that decision.
And Hans, there was a discussion also on rate-regulated activities.
Yes, we had another educational session on this issue, similar to what we did last month. We continue to discuss the development of a new accounting model for rate-regulated activities, and I think these educational sessions help us to get a firmer grip on what should the underlying concepts be of this standard. I think we are making progress every month. I think most of the board gets growing confidence that we could get somewhere with this project. So good to see that we are making this progress.
Sue, before we finish off, I think it's also worth mentioning that you were in Indonesia earlier in the month.
That's right. I was in Jakarta last week with Martin Edelman, and my fellow board member, and Henry Rees, looks after implementation. And the primary purpose of our visit there was really to hold a meeting of our Islamic Finance Consultative Group, which hasn't met for a while now. And we had a very constructive meeting, I think. Really the purpose of that meeting was to get together some representatives from different jurisdictions who are looking at the application of IFRS standards to Islamic financing transactions to understand some of the challenges there. A very successful meeting, I think, still work to be done. And also we took the opportunity to do quite a lot of educational outreach meetings while we're in Indonesia on the big four new standards, IFRS 9, 15, 16 and 17. So I think a very busy but successful trip all around.
Well, that ends our July podcast. Thank you, Sue and Hans, and thank you to our listeners as well. There's no meeting of the board in August, so our next podcast will be after the September board meeting. But it's going to be quite an active period before then and shortly afterwards as well. We have a big conference coming up in Malaysia, organised in collaboration with the Malaysian Standard Setter. Also that month, we will be having a big gathering of standard setters from all over the world at our annual World Standard Setters Conference here in London. We're also busy preparing for conferences in Dubai and Toronto, and details about all of our upcoming events can be found on our website. Any feedback on these podcasts, please email communications@ifrs.org. As always, the full summary of the board's discussion and decisions at the July meeting can be found in the ISB update on the IFRS Foundation's website. Thank you, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.